Well, in the nearly 2 years that I've been here, we've not really had much of a look at the writings of Paul, but here we have a real corker in three words, don't we? Christ is all. If you read through the book of Colossians, there are a few things that just strike me. As you look at the words, yeah, you need to look at the words, you need to interpret the words, what is he actually saying, but sometimes you need to step back, and we did that with the Gospel of John, didn't we? And we just stepped back and we looked at chapter by chapter rather than verse by verse and word by word. But as you step back, you can't but notice this wonderful, perfect balance of doctrine, of experience, and of practice. It's so rare in the believer's life, in a church's life, in a denomination's life to have the balance of doctrine and the theology of God and the experience and the enjoyment of God and the practical application and obedience to God. We all kind of veer in one of those directions. The charismatic church going towards the more experimental, the experimental and the personal experience of Christ, and forgetting doctrine and theology so much, and very often forgetting just the practical day-to-day obedience and practical application. The liberal church, they're not concerned about doctrine and theology. They're not concerned about a personal, warm, living, vibrant relationship with Jesus, but more concerned with just doing things and obeying what they think God wants them to obey. Sometimes in our churches, you'd have to say, amongst the Grace Baptists very often, there's not a real warm, vibrant, experimental relationship with Christ, and we frown and we don't really quite understand what some of the charismatics are saying about their relationship with God, and maybe not so much practically, but our emphasis is upon doctrine and theology. We can cross our T's and dot our I's and become very prickly with people if they don't cross them and dot them in the same way. Well, Paul had none of that. Sometimes it's just abundantly clear. You have remarkably deep theological statements about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. You know, he sees further than Peter. He sees further than John. He can, in light of the events and his own personal relationship with Christ and the Old Testament, he can explain to us theologically and notionally who Jesus is clearer than anybody else. But that doesn't mean his personal experience and the practical application is missing. Sometimes it's clear and you have a real clear therefore. Okay, here you have some deep theology. Let me tell you who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And I'm going to use big words, theological language, and I'm going to quote the Old Testament, and I'm going to use philosophical arguments as well in there, and this, that, and the other. And here is who he is. Therefore, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices. Sometimes it's clear. Other times it's not so clear. But the balance is wonderfully there. In our passage in chapter 3, you have an if-then in verse 1. In verse 3, you have for you died. In verse 5 and 12, you have therefores very clearly. In verse 6, you have a because of. And in verse 8, you have a but now. So he's laying the foundation of who Jesus is and now turning practically to what that means in our lives. Something else I could see clearly as I was just reading over the passage, you'll notice the singular and the plural language. It's important that we have our own personal, individual relationship with God through Jesus Christ, but it's also that we have a corporate life and we recognize ourselves as a part of something so much bigger than just our own personal relationship with God. Lots of singular language, you, and it's mind, not minds in verse 2, your in the singular verse 3, life, not lives in verse 3. Lots of singular language here, but lots of plural language as well. Our, and the sons of disobedience, not son, or yourselves, or one another, or anyone, or another, or called into one body. Very clear that we have a personal relationship with Jesus, but we have a corporate relationship with Jesus as a gathered
church. Wonderful balance there that so very often is missing.
Well, in the midst of all of this, and you're probably thinking, oh dear, he's getting ready to go do pastors' conferences and Bible colleges. Don't do this on a Sunday morning. But in the midst of all of this, you've got this incredible statement, Christ is all.
I finished spending some time on this and I went home and somebody had put on their Facebook page promoting a song. Some of you might know who Ozzy Osbourne is and you might remember Black Sabbath. Well, they've reunited and one of their big new hits is God is dead. Three words. You can't see a bigger difference, can you? How are we living our lives? As Christ is all, or God is dead. Three words defining our lives.